In simple terms, the minister needs to remember that while it takes countless years to establish and build a reputation, a family, a ministry, it can all be destroyed in a few indiscreet moments. It is obvious that if a minister fails to maintain good standing in the private matters mentioned above, he is simply providing fuel for antagonists to criticize and attack him and his ministry. The family. A second and most apologized for area of fault for the well-intentioned minister is found in his neglect of wife and family. On numerous occasions, ministers have been known to say that if there was just one thing they could do over again during the course of their ministry, it would be to spend more time with wife and family. This age-old problem comes with no easy solution. The demands of the church are numerous and time-consuming. The minister must be at virtually all functions to show that he cares about what is happening, to show that he supports the activity in the church, to show that important church family that he is present for that activity that is so important to them. Unfortunately, while the minister is taking such good care of the church family, his own family often experiences need. While he is visiting the prison, his own child is being placed in a juvenile detention facility for breaking the law. While he is preaching on the evils of substance abuse, his own child is being arrested for driving while intoxicated. And whereas divorce among ministers was virtually unheard of in previous years, it is now a common event in virtually every denomination. There are pastors who have such preaching skills that they can hold the attention of their congregation for inordinate periods of time. They seem to have an endless source of information, wit, and Bible knowledge. Their efforts succeed in bringing new members into the church, constructing buildings, and maintaining a strong financial foundation. There are pastors who have an in-depth knowledge of the Scripture and its overt and covert teachings. They have the ability to share scriptural insights that others seem to have missed over the centuries. There are pastors who are the epitome of cooperation within their denomination. They support virtually every program that is proposed. There are pastors who are known for the hours of sacrifice they give the members of their congregation who are in need of counseling, visitation, or just being a friend in time of need. But the same men, with all of their skills, face the same problems that every other human being faces. And unless they learn to deal with these human traits, they may be inviting destructive conflict into their lives. Pastors are real people with real problems. You would think that at this point in Christian history, God's people would be more inclined than ever to extend a helping hand to its ministers who face personal problems and tend to be more forgiving during these circumstances. Be careful. What you would like to believe and what actually exists is frequently not the same. Some congregations can be very unkind to ministers and their families when those ministers and their families have personal problems. The best way to keep conflict out of your life that is caused by personal problems is to anticipate their possibility and have an idea how you will deal with them. Also, try to prepare your congregation to deal with issues that even ministers face through a preaching and pastoral ministry that acknowledges the sinfulness of all humanity. Now we've talked about the pastor, let's talk about the people. Continuing with an overview of the major sources of conflict within the church, we move from pastor and his public life and his private life, to look at how people in general contribute to conflict in the church. Briefly stated, a church is a body of believers who have chosen to follow the leadership of God for their lives. Because of God's initiation and man's response, a person can actually become a child of God. The scripture says that, quotes, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, end quotes, in Romans chapter 5, verse 8. In 1 John, these words are written, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Despite the high calling, which is the nature of every Christian's relationship with God, the sons of God still have or instigate problems in the church that can be sources of minor and major conflict. The very first fact that a pastor should bear in mind when he goes to serve any congregation is that the church is not a place where perfect people dwell. It is an organization which calls out people from all walks of life. Surely, normal, that's in quotes, normal people will be attracted to the organization, but those who have serious mental, emotional, spiritual, and even physical problems will also respond. Yes, you already know this, but you will only begin to believe it when both normal and abnormal people express their concerns about the life and the work of the church. What do people bring to church that often serves as a source of conflict? First, they bring their attitudes. Not long after you begin your responsibilities in a local congregation, you will observe that different people have different attitudes about life. Their disposition, their outlook, their way of seeing and responding to events and issues and other people reveals their attitude. This attitude or core substance of their lives will determine so much of how they behave in the setting of the church. You will be pleased and encouraged as you work with church members who have positive attitudes. They will be open to new ideas and optimistic even when there is reason to feel otherwise. They will be willing to launch into the deep even when they have already been there on previous occasions. They will have energy to carry on even when they have been struggling with an issue for a period of time. They will be a blessing to your life. They will be a blessing to your ministry and to your family. Surely they will have their problems like every other person, but they will be the first to deal with their problems and generally find a solution. Then there will be those people whose attitude is not so positive. In many instances, these are the self-appointed guard dogs of the church and all its presence in the world. They often mean well, but they more frequently hinder than help. They will be the ones to tell you that your new project has already been tried and failed. They will keep enthusiasm and excitement under control. Suffice it to say, their current attitude in life is being dictated by what they have been taught, believed, and practiced up to the time you became pastor of the congregation. Don't even think that you can change an attitude that has sometimes taken decades to develop, but be aware of it and how it could be a potential source of serious conflict for your ministry. Now let's talk about values. Be careful not to form the opinion that all members of the congregation where you're serving as pastor or involved in ministry, the people have the same set of values or those ideals which comprise the reasons people make decisions, become involved, or take action on the issues of life. The fact is, a wide range of value systems can exist in any congregation. The truth of this statement can be proved by the fact that many congregations and denominations seldom support or oppose political issues because such a variance of values exists within those bodies. While values are more philosophical in nature, actions are frequently based on realism. And life has a tendency to bring realism into focus as time passes. Support of this thought comes from the fact that Scripture teaches love, forgiveness, tolerance, and generosity, while even Christians have their moments when these teachings are far from the practices of their lives. In summary, the value system of an individual or a group in your congregation can contribute to serious conflict in the life of the church. Learn to identify and work with the value systems that are important to your people. Now let's talk about traditions. Want to make a quick change in your pastoral ministries? Eliminate or adjust some tradition that has been in existence in your church for several decades, and you may actually find yourself looking for another pastorate real soon. A lot of negative press is given to ancient religious tradition and how it got in the way of worship sincere worship of God, but the problem is still around today. These traditions are just called by some other name. It may be an old building that needs to be demolished. It may be a set of candlesticks that have been in the foyer, a painting on a wall, or a potted plant that's been in front of the pulpit for years. But change one of these traditional figures and you could find yourself in serious trouble. Be careful about traditions in the church. There are churches where all of these things that I've just mentioned have been the source of conflict when somebody tried to change them in one way or another. You need to keep in mind that traditions are more than just old ideas or habits that have been around for a long time. Traditions often represent blood, sweat, tears, commitments, and even sacrifices that people have made in order to establish the tradition that's in question. Careful and wise handling of traditions is necessary if major conflict is to be avoided. Prejudices. Most of the time, when the word prejudice is mentioned, we think about race. But prejudices do include matters other than race, and prejudicial feelings still exist in many churches today. A prejudice is, of course, a prejudging of someone or something based on attitudes or information that has helped in the foundation of that opinion. This prejudging can result in either an unfair exclusion or inclusion of someone in an event, an organization, a program, or whatever. Prejudicial thinking can result in unfair actions either toward or against people and their ideas. It's bad enough to have a prejudicial attitude against another person, but it can be especially painful if somebody is prejudicial against you. Prejudice can be the source of ugly conflict in the church. The church does not want to be seen as an institution that rejects people because of their color, their socioeconomic status, their language, or their different traditions. The best weapon against the evils of prejudice is the story of the Good Samaritan as found in Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. Unchecked prejudice can destroy the good work of the church. Now, let's talk about indifference. Just as having strong feelings against something without good reason can be the source of conflict in the church, so can the attitude of indifference. Try accomplishing something of significance when you're surrounded by a congregation that really does not care whether or not anything is done by the church. After a period of time, frustration builds. Frustration leads to tension, stress, and conflict. Don't be so pleased when you're serving a congregation that appears to be letting you do anything that you want to do. It could be that you are being given the reins of power as long as you don't do anything. But you will soon discover how angry and resistant your congregation can be if you attempt to initiate a program. Believe it or not, it is sometimes better to serve a congregation where conflict is more the norm than where subtle indifference is the norm. Now, what about the issue of change? What place does change have in conflict when it occurs in the life of the church. Well, did you ever hear about a pastor who changed the order of worship and his home address within the same 30-day period? Yes, it really happened. Unfortunately, the organization that has the mandate to help men make the greatest change in their lives by introducing them to Christ is the same organization that stubbornly resists change. Whether it be a change in the order of worship, the addition of a new staff member, the way a communion service is observed, or the color of paint for the nursery, it can be a source of conflict for the church. Change is necessary because without change, life would cease. It's essential. It's necessary. Without it, life would cease. But now you try to tell some people that change is necessary, and you will encounter resistance, great resistance, especially when you go about the business of changing something that's very significant in their lives. Many of the things that church members hold dear today only came about because of some change that occurred sometime in the past. When faced with the challenge of leading the church to make a necessary change, the real issue is how to implement that change with as little stress as possible. May I say that again? The real issue when change is the topic, the real issue is how to implement that change with as little stress as possible. Now, most people in the church will eventually support change if it's implemented in a way that expresses concern for those who were opposed to it. That is, change can be made, but when change is made, you need to take into consideration the feelings, the opinions, the ideas of those who are affected by the change. When making a change in the church, it's a good idea to proceed cautiously and to keep the people well informed as the change is being made. Otherwise, a conflict of major proportion could result. Now, let's talk about relationships. It seems that no matter how hard you try to relate to some people, there are going to be those in your life who will not like you because they do not like you. On one occasion in my ministry where I served, I was told by the wife of one of my members that her husband did not like me because I looked like somebody he didn't like years ago. It does not matter why people may disagree with you, a member of your family, or your way of doing things. His dislike for you can still cause conflict in your ministry. Most frustrating is the fact that there's little or nothing you can do to change that person's way of thinking about you. As you move through your ministry, you will learn how these thorns in the flesh can provide some real opportunities for you to mature in your faith. Now, what about theology in conflict? The fact is that theological differences can be a major source of conflict in the local church. Destructive conflicts based on theology are found more frequently at the denominational level than in the local church. It seems there is more tolerance for theological differences in the local church than for most of the other issues mentioned above, because an individual's interpretation of Scripture has been so strongly advocated by evangelical churches down through the centuries. It is also true that proponents of different theological views can work side by side on various projects in the church. As said, however, theological differences can be the source of conflict in the church. a good seminary education, and constant study of the Scripture is your best solution to potential conflict when theology is the issue. Continue to study. Get a good theological foundation about your beliefs. Understand and know Scripture. Be solid as you preach, and thus you'll be able to deal with this issue of conflict before it comes your way. While a good theological foundation affirms you in your faith, it also gives you the widest possible range of theological possibilities when issues are discussed. These are a few of the major areas of conflict that exist because of the human nature of persons who comprise congregations. As has been said, the greatest source of conflict in our congregations is people. Without the presence of people, there'd be little cause for conflict. Also true, however, is the fact that without people, we'd have no churches. That's the truth. So, if we're going to have churches, we're going to have to learn to work with people and the complexities that they bring into life. The problems. Now let's discuss the problems. We've discussed the pastor. We've discussed the people. And now, in the next few moments that we have, let us discuss some of the problems that create conflict in the church. Under this heading, an endless list of the problems that cause conflict in the church could be stated and discussed. But let's just list some of the problems that are more frequently the cause of conflict in the church. First of all, of course, is the location of the church itself. Where a church is located is ultimately the cause of major conflict in the church. Now, this may make some folks uncomfortable, but think about it for a few moments. Where the church is located is sooner or later the cause of major conflict in many churches. Of course, the location of the church was thought to be the very best possibility when it was originally placed in that neighborhood, when it was built, when the building was built, when the congregation was established. But as years pass, neighborhoods change. And as neighborhoods change, so do the congregations. Church members grow older. Young families with all their energy and all their resources eventually evaporate. The church's main thrust moves from one of evangelism and growth to one of maintenance and of the status, maintenance of the status quo. Outreach efforts are often in the form of social ministries, and certainly there's nothing wrong with that. Conflict arises when there's a feeling that something is not being done properly or there'd be growth in the church. The church is in a neighborhood, the neighborhood is dying, there's no growth in the church, people get upset, and conflict occurs. More often than not, there's the placement of blame on the pastor or the staff or the pastor and the staff or somebody else in leadership because of this lack of growth. And this simply aggravates the problem. The location of a church can be the source of deep and long-lasting conflict. This location problem, as we'll call it, is extremely complex, and solving it calls for an extensive study of the church and its present concept of ministry. It calls for a new commitment to the community, and it calls for members who are willing to work for results that come in forms other than large numbers of new members. In some cases, the location problem is dealt with by literally moving the church to a new site. Of course, this is not easily done, and there will be those who will resist this plan, and you guessed it, conflict will occur. Now, what about organizational structure, and what place does it play in conflict in the life of the church? The lack of an organizational structure, sooner or later, causes or is a cause of conflict in the church. although there are churches that have little organization structure and appear to function well, a closer look reveals a lot of frustration on the part of the congregation. True, a large number of those persons who comprise the congregations are content to let a few members carry on a lot of the workload, but most congregations have a core of persons who do not want to have a part in the formation and implementation of policy and procedure. A structure can pave the way for dealing with potential conflict in the realms of finances, personnel, distribution of authority and duties, and growth of the church in related matters. It must also be kept in mind that when a pastor and his staff, if he has one, tries to be all the arms and hands and legs of a church, it is only a matter of time before their energy and creative abilities begin to dwindle away. In the long run, it is a strong organizational structure that helps the church to avoid conflict and accomplish the mission of the church. And so one of the first things that you will want to do when you go to serve as a minister in a church, whether it be as pastor or a staff member or whatever, is to help to develop some kind of organizational structure that will guide the church along through not only the good times, but also the bad times. A third item under this matter of problems in the church is that of legitimate differences. Legitimate differences. There's neither time nor space to really mention all the problems that can be found in the church, but for just a few moments, let us talk about legitimate differences. In general terms, and in keeping in mind what has been advocated throughout this course, conflict does have a legitimate place in the life of the church. Now, there's some people who are going to have difficulty with this statement, and they're going to quote Scripture as a source of opposition to this statement that conflict does have a legitimate place in the life of the church. But the fact is, because people are human, they are going to be different, and they're going to have different ideas and different ways of doing things. And these different approaches will often result in conflict. But as long as the church has a healthy concept about the nature and potential value of conflict, the church will not be intimidated. When conflict occurs, church members should see it as an indication that people care about what is happening in the church. I want to say that again. When conflict occurs, church members should see it as an indication that people care about what is happening in the church. It's not their desire to see this conflict destroy the church, bring destruction to its programs, its plans, its ideals. Believe it or not, when conflict occurs, church members and ministers should see it as an indication that people care about what is happening or what is not happening in the church. The challenge to the pastor, staff, and leaders and members of the church is to channel that concern into a productive response. In summary, let me say this. Conflict in the church goes all the way back to the very beginnings of the church. Generally speaking, conflict originates frequently from the office of the pastor, human nature of people, and the problem areas presented by the church's location, its structural organization, and legitimate differences. That conflict originates from these sources and is an indication that people care. It should also be remembered that there is value in conflict. Conflict pulls people together on some occasions and frequently results in a better idea or way of doing things. Again, the challenge to leaders and members of the church is to channel that concern into a productive response. In conclusion, where there is a church, there is going to be conflict. It may be simple and constructive or complex and highly destructive in nature. It may come at the very beginning of the establishment of a new church, or it may take months or years to present itself. Conflict is a natural phenomenon in the life of the church. This concludes 2.15.